next weekend we have Cork and Kerry on the male side of things in the All-Ireland series, the All-Ireland Championship series. Different format this year. Second game in a row, following on from Kerry and Mayo, where it will be behind a paywall. You'll have to sign up or purchase the game via GAA Go, and God knows lots of you have been getting in touch with us in relation to your feelings about GAA Go and the way the GAA are running things from the sports rights point of view from this year. And one of the things that has come out of it, and I mentioned this in the programme, we got a huge reaction online as well, but a lot of you getting in touch with us on Friday when I mentioned the prevalence of dodgy boxes. A number of people have said to me, oh, I'm not worried about GAA Go, sure, I have everything for free anyway. I have illegal streaming. It is illegal, but, you know, lots of people have it. €100, €120 a year to pay breaks through all the different channels, all the different movies, everything else like that, including sports. So to find out more about this and to talk a bit about, I suppose, where this all came from or comes from when it comes to sports rights, I've got with me on the line Rob Hartnett, CEO of Sport for Business. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kerry.
Listen, look, you know a lot through your business and your networking about sports rights and the way the market has changed over the last, let's say we call it the last 10 years. But there's been a total fragmentation of sports rights. Way more companies getting involved, offering different segments of different sporting markets, and it's all kind of added to the cost, hasn't it, for the average person who loves sport and wants to watch it?
It has indeed. I listened to your introduction there on Leeds United. I'm a Queen's Park Rangers fan in English football, so my sympathies
are at a
different level altogether. But the reality of where sport has gone is that you can look at it two ways. One is that it has become more expensive. Two is that it has become much more open. You know, you and I are probably old enough to remember back to the days when, you know, a game of football being shown on the television was an absolute rarity. That it was the FA Cup final and the World Cup final, and maybe a little bit in between times. In Gaelic games, it was the All-Ireland football final, the All-Ireland hurling final, and hopefully, if you were lucky, a couple of the semi-finals as well. But other than that, there was no coverage. There was just no television coverage at all, because we were limited in terms of the number of channels that were available and everything else. Now, I could have watched Kerry's League of Ireland Football Club on Friday night. I might not have wanted to. The result wasn't great, but it was being live streamed on LOI TV. That would never have been the case beforehand. I could have watched throughout the entire winter season. I could have watched all of the basketball from Tralee and from Killarney and from everywhere else down there. I could have watched the Kerry Mayo game on the television as well, albeit I would have had to pay for it behind the paywall, but it wouldn't necessarily have been covered live on RTE or on Virgin Media or on any of the other channels, because in, you know, a little over 10 years ago, that just wouldn't have happened anyway.
There's
been a lot of talk about GAA Go this year, but the reality is that there's only a certain number of games that RTE can show. You know, they've got to show other sports. Heaven forbid they even have to show other programmes outside of live sport altogether. And the number of games that are being shown on GAA Go, which as a GAA member, you could have, and I did, pay €50 for at the start of the season, which would have given me every single game out there. I don't pay €120 to a dodgy box, but I'm happy to pay money to a sporting rights holder where the money is actually going to filter back into the sport. Or I could have gone to the game. You know,
that's always an option for some. But Rob, is it part, like, what's happened in the market? There's a number of different things. First of all, I remember the days as well that basically you had Sky Sports and they had everything. From the point of view, you paid one fee, you had three or four different channels, you got your Premier League, you got your golf, you got your cricket if that's what you liked, you got your rugby, all of those sort of things were with one provider and for one fee. Now you have six or seven or eight or nine different operators that you might have to sign up, but you've got BT, you possibly have the description for Virgin, you've got Sky. The sports rights are changing hands for astronomical sums all the time. And now what you have is you've got the sporting organisations themselves. Are they, and in a way as a GAA, are they trying to cut out the middleman here? That they're their own channel and they're charging their own supporters direct in order to make more money for the sport? Is that part of it?
It's probably one of the areas where the GAA has actually led the way. This has been GAA Go has been in existence for the best part of a decade. It was 8 years ago when it was originally set up, and it was a joint venture between the GAA, which owns the rights, and RTE, which has the broadcast capacity. Now, they've since gone on, and GAA Go provides the technology and the streaming services behind the United Rugby Championship. So Munster's great win over the weekend, all of the games that were shown throughout that season and that tournament could have been watched live again, largely behind a paywall, and that was provided by the GAA Go, ironically enough. The rights are incredibly important and have generated, you know, millions in the case of the Irish market, billions in the case of things like the Premier League and the UEFA Champions League. But the value of it to the sport has never really been fully realised. So now we're moving into a point where organisations like the National Basketball Association, for example, will sell little packages where you can watch the last quarter of a game and you pay a couple of dollars for that. But when you consider the millions of people that are likely to be tuning in to those big international events, the amount of money which sport can actually make off of streaming and then filter back into the sport, particularly so in the case of Gaelic games on this side of the world, the amount of money which can be generated can be increased hugely as well. And again, it all comes down to choice, because when you were paying your one subscription to Sky Sports, you had to pay the one and you got everything and you could dip in and out of it, fair enough. Nowadays, you can actually choose to watch, well, actually, I fancy a bit of golf this weekend, and you can buy a Now subscription so that you can stream that just for the weekend. You get all of the sports, so there might be a football match, bit of rugby, bit of golf, and whatever else takes your fancy. And you've got the choice now, so that you don't have to pay for an annual subscription. You can dip in and out and watch what you do, almost back to the old days when you could actually go along to the games, as we said. And it's our choice now as individuals as to what we pay for. One of the challenging things which has been a lot of the heat behind the debate over the last week or so has been the fact that we all want to see all of these things, but there's a section of the population out there that just don't really want to pay for them, or that argue, well, I pay my TV license, so therefore I shouldn't have to pay for anything else. All of these come at a cost.
Yeah.
The cost of television cameras, the cost of outside broadcast units, the cost of rights to the organisation, the cost to pay the presenters and the commentators. I'm not sure that anybody really thinks through, well, I want this for free, and to be honest with you, I don't care. Should all of those people, they're working, this is their job, but I don't want to pay them.
Yeah.
You know, they can make their own thing. And, you know, the reality is that nobody wants to work and not get paid.
Yeah.
But the payment has to come from somewhere.
And does this cross over then into the creative arts when it talks, let's say, about streaming services or illegal streaming services and dodgy boxes, that the movies, the television programs that get accessed for free that otherwise you wouldn't get access to, that they have to be paid for as well in terms of the creative people who put them together? Or, like, we had this whole debate starting with Napster decades ago when music streaming first came on, the internet was used as a vehicle for all of that. Artists need to be paid, and that's the argument as to you have to pay something for these creative services.
Yeah, like, I mean, what are we doing to quality if we're not paying for anything? Yes, you can get it all for free, but, like, you know, the quality of it, if people aren't going to be paid for it, then they're not going to put in the effort. So all of a sudden, you're in this rush to the bottom, and we end up getting everything for free to everybody. But, my God, do you really want to watch it?
Yeah, yeah. Rob, at the start of this year in Britain, there was a story that more than 2 million subscriptions to services such as Netflix, Prime Video and Disney were cancelled in the previous quarter last year as the cost of living hit. Is that part of the reasoning rationale that people are saying, look, if I can get this for cheaper, I'll go that way because it's just, you know, money's tight, and you see a growth in this sort of activity in times of high inflation?
I think that's inevitable, that there are some that is exactly the case for. In defence of GAA Go, all of the local county PROs were given a number of different free subscriptions which they could give to nursing homes and organisations out there. There's, you know, clubs got a discounted one as well, so that you could actually go down to your club and watch the matches. So there was that sort of sense of minding the community a little bit, you know, to that extent in there. But yeah, it is inevitable if there's people out there that are willing to provide the service, but you have to think of who those people are. So when you're paying for your dodgy box, that's being ripped off from a stream that's being taken, and it could be in Russia, it could be in Bulgaria, it could be in Belarus, it could be in India, it could be in China, or it could be in, you know, in Ballyferrita. We don't know where that money is going to, but we know that it's not going into sport. We know that it's not actually giving us anything which is going to have a long-term, viable, sustainable, you know, impact on the sport we love, or, as you said, the creative arts that we enjoy, or on, you know, the radio stations that we're listening to as well. It's going into somebody's pocket, and we're still paying, you know, we being the, you know, the general public. You know, you have to make the choice as to whether you want to do it or not. And, you know, the corollary to that story about the number of, you know, dodgy boxes that were streaming up as well, is that on streams are taking place over the internet. So if you allow a stream to come into your computer, you know, again, you just don't know where the, you know, where the validity of that stream is coming from, and whether that might be used to plant something else on your computer, which in a week or a month or a year or in 10 years time, you're going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden your computer has been taken over and your bank accounts have been compromised and everything else. So, you know, you have to take care, you have to think of all of these things in the round. It might be a saving for this month, and you might get to watch all of the things that you're not paying the same amount as anybody else for, but you might think that that's great crack until something bad happens.
And with that in mind, is there an issue here, and are the authorities behind the curve on this? Have they been battling this since, let's say, 2015, 2016, when these things started, that it is so prevalent? I know there is the odd case where somebody, I think someone in January, went to jail in the UK for selling a load of these boxes, but there's been talk of crackdowns. I think March this year there was a warning that, you know, they're going to be visiting people's homes. And but the prevalence of them, it doesn't seem to be, there doesn't seem to be much of an issue of enforcement here as of yet, or the ability to stop these services at source, given this is transnational, I'd imagine, Rob. This is going to take more than the authorities in Ireland can handle, I'd imagine.
It is that, you know, the battle has been going on for longer since the internet became such an important part of our lives. It is harder for authorities to actually sort of, you know, to pin down a boundary on, well, who is responsible for that and where is that coming from and what can I do to actually sort of stop it coming in. You know, in many ways it's the same as anything. If you're breaking the law in any area, you know, there is a chance that you might get caught, but maybe it won't ever happen to you. So if you're speeding along on the motorway, you know, there's a chance that you might get caught. There's a chance that there might be a data car pulling up behind you. You know, normal people sort of take a balanced view, and they assess the risk of it. But there is always that danger that you will get caught, and you will perhaps, who knows, you know, have your television taken away from you, or you might be served with a fine, or you might, heaven forbid, have to go to jail for, you know, for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Is that part of the risk? Or is that the reward for, you know, for watching a game on a dodgy box? That's up to each individual to make their choice, and the authorities can only go so far in it. But there is always the threat that they will go exactly the right distance to catch you as an individual, and that's something that you have to be willing to take the risk on. The same way as you might drive 10 kilometres over the speed limit and think that was worth the risk, you might believe that driving 50 kilometres over the speed limit, that's not worth the risk, because there's danger there inherent in that.
Well, Tom gets in touch with us this morning, finally, Robin, and he says, look, I bought a dodgy stick in Limerick for €70 a few months ago. I have every channel, including GAA Go Soccer, Goal, Sky Movies, etc. Sky asked me for €131 a month, and GAA Go wanted a further €79. No way, when I can get it for €70. Plus, I can bring the dodgy stick with me on holidays, weekends away from home, and so on, says Tom. And is that an element of it? The cost, plus people are unrepentant. They're saying no, the other services are too expensive.
Yeah, well, you know, if Tom is coming from Limerick there, none of that €70 is going to, you know, to help
to Limerick
GAA, whether it be in football, Treaty United or Limerick GAA or anything else. That's his choice to make. plenty of others, and still the vast majority of people who are watching these are doing it through the normal channels because they just have a sense that, well, that's the right thing to do. That,
yeah.
I want to make a statement. Now, obviously, people are, you know, to the pin of their collar, and if they can't afford it, then that's, you know, it's understandable. But does it give you a reason to break the law and to take money out of the pockets of sporting organisations and of media companies that are trying to put on a good service for the majority of people, of the commentators, of the camera people, of everybody else who's living depends on it? That's
the industry.
Choice.
Okay, Rob, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for giving us your time on it this morning. It's an interesting area and one we're going to see more change on, I'd imagine, as time goes by.
Thanks very much, Jerry.
Perfect. Rob Hartnett there of Sport for Business. If you have a view on what he had to say and on the overall debate, get in touch with us on the show. Back to the dodgy boxes and the illegal streaming. Patrick O'Reilly's from Cremorne. His daughter, Fola, is an Irish filmmaker of some renown. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you keeping?
I'm very good. What do you make of the dodgy box debate?
Well, this is very close to my heart. I think we've an awful lack of education in the sense that people don't really know what they're doing when they're using them. You're stealing somebody's product, and it's very wrong. I have seen Fola sweat and tears, 7 years in college, 2 years working on a film, then going to a small community and put in a lot of money and a lot of employment in making a film and the whole industry. And why should you steal from someone like that? Because that's what it is. These people wouldn't go into a shop or a supermarket and steal a bottle of wine. But I think they really don't understand. They're taking a tenner out of an industry. That's the people's wages. That's their life, their whole life. And why should you, from anything, why should you rob anybody of anything? And they go to church in the following week and they take no notice of it. But I think it's lack of education.
Do people think it's a victimless crime? They think, sure, who are we harming?
Yeah, they probably do, but they're harming thousands of people. And a lot of money goes into it, and a lot of sweat and tears, as I said. And if you take Fola's recent film in Teelin and Donegal, the amount of tourism that will come there for the next 10 years, like, why should you steal a tenner from those people? It's as simple as that. It's wrong, totally wrong. And it's illegal, but as you say, we it's like poaching making. We take no notice of it.
And can you understand on any level part of the people are feeling, it's all costing too much, Sky Sports and GAA Go, they want this, they want that, if I want to get to sports I have to pay X, Y and Z, and it's just too much at the moment?
Well, everything has to be a patron, Jerry. If you want Sky Sports, if you want GAA Go, pay for it. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and say sign up to Sky or sign up to GAA Sports or whatever. You have to pay. Everything has to be a patron. There's no free lunches. There's a lot of work behind the scenes with internet companies.
And you've seen it on the production behind the scenes on Fola's movies. You've seen the myriad of people involved.
I've seen 120, 140 people working day and night, long hours. And I mean it, sweat and tears. There's no clock like running. They just keep going. And I've seen what it meant to a community in boatmen and shop people and pubs and rented houses and butchers. So you're stealing from all that. You wouldn't be allowed going to a pharmaceutical company or a pharmacy and steal something. You'd be up in bloody court.
Yeah.
So why do you think it's okay to steal people's living?
Yeah.
I don't. I know it's close to my heart because I have all involved in it. And that, but it's absolutely, we need to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
And chuck out the dodgy boxes. And if we're worried about the bills, don't sign up. Do without it. If you can't afford it, don't have it.
Yeah,
some people don't want to pay for nothing.
There's an element of that too. Yeah, there certainly is an element of that too. That some people, if you give them a chance, they just won't want to pay for absolutely everything. Okay, Patrick, listen, thanks a million. The movie's going from strength to strength. God Creatures and continuous success to Fola.
Very nice. And the CY now for KFS should be great for the local scene.
Brilliant.
And by the way, Jerry, I'm not in Cremorne today. I'm down in beautiful Cardonald in the Blind Pipe but having a cup of coffee.
You couldn't be in a better spot. Brilliant stuff.
Absolutely.
Patrick, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us on the programme.
Thank you and everyone in Radio Kelly.
Great stuff. That's Patrick O'Reilly here from Cremorne. Fola Cronin O'Reilly, filmmaker of par excellence, really.